What a beautiful day today. I saw you guys pull in. You're from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you doing here in the middle of Wisconsin? My name is Jim, by the way.
Jim.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
We're actually headed home. We had a family reunion in Minnesota.
Oh.
And so we went out for the reunion.
Oh, I see.
Cousins reunion.
Yeah, what part of Pennsylvania are you from?
South Central.
South Central?
Yeah.
You guys Mennonite?
Yeah.
Mennonite, okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Mennonites. I know there's a lot of Mennonites around here. There's a lot of Anabaptists in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, well, some of our relatives are like from Unity, Wisconsin.
Unity?
No,
I've been around Wisconsin for 25 years. I've never heard of Unity. What town is that in? What area is that in?
It's north of Marshfield.
North of Marshfield? Must be a little dinky.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, because Marshfield, boom.
It's only about an hour from here, they said.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I've never heard of Unity.
I'm a truck driver, and I used to haul milk replacer out of Land O'Lakes over here.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, I've been off this exit here, loaded.
Oh, wow.
Here overnight.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's a nice place. We're camped out right over there.
Yeah.
See that.
Yeah, yeah.
See that, yes.
So, I knew, I was pretty sure there was a campground here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we looked it up. And
nice. Yeah, it's a nice campground. We've never stayed here, but it seems like a nice campground. It seems like it's more for people to come and stay all summer.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people like you just traveling through
this country. This is our first time camping.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, we pulled a camper out, camping. Her brother has a camper.
It's a third
we
campsite.
We traveled out with them. Now,
they went on
and we're doing our own.
Ah, okay. There's a lot of fish you can see in the lake if you walk around. The fish and the geese.
Is that a lake there?
Yeah. There's two little lakes, but if you get like around the wood docks, you can see the fish swimming around and stuff.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see the rainbow?
I didn't. I was over walking on the other side. I went through the tunnel and I was taking a walk. This is a big four-wheeler area, as you know.
Yeah.
So I was on the other side of the tunnel.
We were just out at the little store and came back. When we came out of the store, before we drove back here, we saw it.
We drove through a nasty storm to get here. We came from the north, and we kept thinking it was going to be here still, but I think there's still some coming. It's supposed to rain overnight, I think.
So we were at the Mall of America earlier today.
Oh, you were?
We spent time at the Mall of America.
We were never there, but that is one
and
huge.
And we left there and drove over here.
Oh, okay. So. That's like in Minneapolis or something, isn't it?
Yeah. Just on the south side.
I'm sorry?
Bloomington.
Okay, yeah. I know where that is. We've been through there.
Yeah, it's in the Minneapolis area.
Well, I came over. Can I give you this?
Yeah.
You guys are Anabaptists. My wife and I are born again Christians. My wife head covers and wears a dress. We have a lot in common with the Anabaptists, but we don't call ourselves Anabaptists.
Yeah.
I just want to share that track with you.
Thank you.
Jesus said that the sign that will be his is love for each other.
Yeah.
John 13.
Yeah.
And I'm a traveling street preacher. And so I travel. I have on my website, don'tperish.com, I teach, but I travel the country and street preach. We support ourselves. I retired early to go do this. That's our house. Our van is our house. Although we do have a small homestead in central Missouri near Lake of the Ozarks, but we're never there. There's a whole bunch of Anabaptists there, too. Everywhere I go, I'm surrounded by Anabaptists, it seems. I don't know if that's God's will or not, but there's a whole bunch of Anabaptists there, too. My wife was a lifelong Lutheran, and she became born again about 2 or 3 weeks after I became born again, which is, it's a miracle when one person's born again in this wicked world, but God saw fit to see both of us born again. And so we travel, I street preach all over. We've been to all different places. I got street preaching videos up there. But what I like to stop and tell Anabaptist people is you obviously have a reverence for Christ. And what I like to remind people, because we love people, and keep in mind, we preach to the homeless in the gutter. We preach to the rich people in the million-dollar motorhomes. We preach to, we stand outside religious places. We go to events. We were at the Super Bowl, Daytona 500. We stand outside.
Yeah.
So we go everywhere. We preach to everybody. I stand at Roman Catholic Church outside, and I stand outside Mormon churches. So I'm fair.
Yeah.
But what I always ask people is Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, right?
Yeah.
You would agree?
Yeah.
So I always ask people, how is it that we can follow man-made traditions that are outside of the truth and say we're following Jesus? And so I always challenge Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Anabaptists. There's a lot of man-made traditions in Anabaptism, as you well know. I mean, start with the name, Menno. Where does that come from? I've read enough of Menno Simons' books. I'm not a Menno Simons fan. I think he was a godly man. I agree with almost everything he taught. If Menno came back and saw people naming themselves after him, what do you think Menno would do?
He might not like that.
Menno would rebuke.
Yeah.
sternly. Yeah. Apostle Paul said, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul. Is Christ divided? So that's just one example. Christmas and Easter is another example. While people say we're lifting up Jesus, I always ask people, doesn't the Bible say to do things our own way? Isn't that called witchcraft? Meaning, God says, worship me this way. And we decide, no, we're going to do it this way. And the book of Samuel says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So you tell your children, do this and do it this way. And your daughter goes, I did it my way, Dad. And you go, you didn't really do it my way. You're doing it your own way. That's not appropriate for how God. So Christmas and Easter, God never ordained them. Do you know where Christmas and Easter come from?
Well, Christmas, I know, is a pagan holiday, but what...
Came from the Roman Catholics.
Okay.
And Easter, which you might not call it Easter, you might call it Resurrection Sunday. People have like kind of cleaned the pig off, I say, you know, to clean up. But the whole holiday, Ishtar, is a pagan holiday. Ishtar, Easter, pagan goddess. And the Bible never tells us to lift up Christ's resurrection on a certain day. In fact, Paul says, preach Christ crucified. Yeah. And I always throw this at people, and I hope when I walk away you'll go, we got to look into that. I was standing outside a Mennonite church, and the minister came out. And he said, he was very staunch, and he said, what's this all about? And I said, oh, I'm here to preach the truth. I said, you guys aren't preaching living the truth here. He goes, what do you mean? And I said, can I ask you a question? I said, is Jesus a liar? And he goes, well, of course not. He was acting just like that, you know. And I said, how many days did he say he would be in the grave, days and nights? He goes, 3 days and three nights. And I said, you're right, sir. I said, we agree on that. I said, I just looked up on your website. I said, you keep Good Friday and you keep Easter Sunday, don't you? Resurrection Sunday. Yes, we do. And it was about, there was like 50 people in front of them. This is in the middle of Wisconsin. I'm sorry. And I said, can you tell me how you get 3 days and three nights from Friday night to Sunday morning?
So it was parts of 3 days.
Friday night, Saturday night, is
well,
how many nights?
Not three nights, but just part. Did he say 3 days and three nights?
Yes, sir. 3 days. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, I'll be in the grave. 3 days, three nights. Friday night, Saturday is two nights. Friday to Saturday is one day. Saturday to Sunday morning, you could say, is another day. That's only 2 days. Here's the thing. I have articles on my website. He didn't resurrect on Sunday. Sunday is not the Lord's day. You know when Jesus resurrected? You remember this. You too. All of you. He resurrected on Saturday. You know why? He's our rest. When was the Torah day rest? Saturday. He was crucified on a Wednesday night. The Bible says they had to get him down before the high Sabbath. If you look at the calendar, the high Sabbath was on Thursday that week. He went in the grave Wednesday night. He was in the grave Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He rose Saturday evening before Sunday. He's our Sabbath rest. And I tell you this to hope and pray that you'll go, aren't we supposed to follow the Lord's ways, not man-made traditions? And Jesus said in Mark 7, he warned the Pharisees for this. And this is why I'm telling you this, and you're being gracious to listen. Most Mennonites don't stand and listen this long. I don't know. Maybe you're just really nice. Maybe you're interested. Most of them go, okay. And they treat me like I'm from another planet, quite honestly. But anyway, Jesus said in Mark 7 to the Pharisees, you know what they were doing? They added a tradition like this, washing of pots and cups. That's what Jesus said they added, washing of pots and cups. And you know what Jesus said to them because of that? You worship God in vain because of your man-made traditions. The Word of God says no such thing. Now, that was back then. Those Pharisees were really biblical in many ways. Their heart was wrong, but they were biblical.
Yeah.
What do you think Jesus would say if he came back and saw Roman Catholicism, Lutheran, Evangelical, or Anabaptist ways with all the false doctrines? What do you think Jesus would say? I've just given you a couple.
Yeah.
This whole system, the Roman Catholics rose up and took the world into darkness. They persecuted and killed millions, and they killed the Anabaptists. Then the Protestants came out, and the Protestants began to kill the Anabaptists. And here's an amazing thing about the Anabaptist faith I want to share with you. If you go back to the early Anabaptists, they would have been very biblical people in many ways. And you know what they were? They were rabid for the gospel, to go out and tell people that they were telling the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans and the Protestants, you can't be baptized as a baby. You have to be baptized. How can a baby make a decision? You must be baptized as an adult. They risked their lives to go do this. And you can read all the stories of all of them killed. And they were hunted down by Catholics. They were hunted down by Martin Luther and by John Calvin. Do you know what happened, what changed the Anabaptist world? For several, probably two centuries, the Anabaptists were being hunted down and killed. Menno had to run his whole life to hide. It was a miracle he was survived. Finally, the authorities came to the Mennonite, the Anabaptist leaders, and said, look, we're tired of hunting you down and killing you. Will you agree to stop proselytizing, preaching the gospel to Catholics and Protestants? We'll leave you alone if you'll stop doing that. And you know what happened? The Anabaptist leaders said, okay, and this is what happened. They went into communities, and they lost the call to go preach the gospel to the lost. And this is why doctrines like divorce and remarriage came up. Whatever you think on that, this is where the doctrines of divorce and remarriage came up. Because before that, Menno was all-inclusive. Menno said, whatever happens to you before Christ, you could be a murderer, you could be anything. Menno said, you could be divorced and remarried before you come to Christ. When we come to Christ, what does the Bible say? We're washed, we're cleansed, we're made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are a new creation. All that past is gone. Today's Anabaptists hold you to pre-conversion divorce and remarriage because when they went, Menno never believed that. When they went into these little communities, all they did was look inside. No more looking to the outside to preach to the lost. They looked inside. You know what they said? We got to keep sinners out. We got to keep the sinners out so we can't have divorce and remarriage and all these things. So I'm just sharing with you the evolution of the faith, and it's very much like that today. Anabaptists are very much community. Most of them don't go and preach. And if I could, lastly, I want to share the gospel with you to eternal life, then I'll let you go. You're being very gracious. Jesus Christ and his shed blood. I know I look different, but I'm a Christian. I believe what your King James Bible, right? Yeah. I believe what your King James Bible says. I have no new revelation to give you. I don't have a cult for you to come follow. I don't want your money. What I want you to do is open the Bible and go deeper than the Mennonite faith is taking you. The gospel to eternal life is Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. He's the only way, King of kings, Lord of lords, fully man, fully God. That's just the beginning. Most people in America go, believe in Jesus. Yeah, you're good to go. And they walk away from me. I said, hold on. Jesus said more. Jesus said, repent. Place your faith in me. Repent. Repentance is change your mind. When you change your mind, you change your ways. I used to be a drunk. I used to be a fighter and a worldly man. When I repented, not only did my mind change, my life changed. How I dress changed, how I act, how I talk changed. Faith, repentance, you must be born again. This is a spiritual new birth that most Anabaptists, when I ask them the gospel, they never even mention it. They pretty much say, well, believe in Jesus, be baptized, and but you must be born again. And it's a time when, it's like when you got married, your whole life changed. And you know about when you got married. Well, you know the exact day you got married. Born again isn't like that. Born again is like, summer of 2011, just my life changed. And ever since then, I've been changed. I see the world different. I see people different. I used to hate people. I didn't want people. I was a separate party guy. Now, I long to go and preach the gospel to people. God did a work in me, okay? Faith, repentance, you must be born again. Now, the fruit that you're born again, it's not you join a community, not that you go to church on Sunday, and Sunday's not the Lord's day. I just proved it to you. That's a man-made doctrine. The fruit that you're born again is holiness and obedience to the scriptures, testing everything to the scriptures, what you preach, how you believe, who you associate with, how you dress, what you call yourself. And the Spirit of God always aligns itself with the Word of God. I'm holding my iPhone because I have the Bible on there. It aligns itself. And if you find your life is aligned with a bunch of man-made traditions, you're following man and the culture and you're not following the Word of God. Faith, repentance, being born again, holiness and obedience is the fruit. Now, we don't work our way to heaven, but is this your wife? Do you love her?
Yeah.
Are you faithful to her?
Yeah.
That's the fruit that you love her.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, you don't have a marriage. So people say to me all the time, oh, you're teaching works. And I said, well, I don't teach works to get to heaven, but works better be following you right behind because that's the fruit that you're born of God. No spirit of God leaves you in sin and false ways and wickedness.
No,
the last part of the gospel, we're not Calvinists. You must endure. You can't just raise your hand, believe. You got to endure in this marriage. I have to endure in my marriage. And my wife is really going to be sad. She misses. She's not feeling very good right now. She loves to come and meet people. But that's the gospel. And so you need to test yourself to that gospel. And if you've really been born again, and then you have to say, if I'm Christ's, Jesus said we must worship in spirit and truth and come out of all these false ways. And I can promise you something. If you really follow Christ biblically, you will lose most of your friends. Most of your family. I lost my career. I was a salesman. Can you imagine that? I lost my career, which I'd do it all over again. Jesus said, lose your life to come and find me. Most people just go to church, fit into a lifestyle that fits them. That's not how you enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, lose your life to find it. Does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense to naturally. I mean,
yeah,
human
exactly.
Mind.
And the last thing you'll notice, I dress different. And my wife wears a dress and head covering. This is a beautiful thing. I have articles on all this on my website. I always teach people this. I'm wearing what's called a tunic. Jesus wore a robe and a tunic. Paul and Peter wore a robe and a tunic. All the prophets wore a robe and tunic. If you go all the way back to Genesis 3, and I don't teach the Old Testament, Torah laws for Israel, but you believe in husband and wife marriage, that's in Genesis 1 or 2. I'm going to tell you what's in Genesis 3. Do you know what Adam and Eve did when they sinned?
They ate the apple.
Yep. What'd they do then? Do you know right afterwards?
They made excuses to
and then
blame other people.
Keep going. What did they do?
Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed
Yeah. They were both at fault. Then keep going.
Clothes.
What did they do?
They made aprons.
Aprons. Very good. So if you look up, I encourage you to look up Hebrew and Greek. Look up the Hebrew and Greek words. If you look up that word apron, or excuse me, the Hebrew word, it means apron. Now, if you just had an apron on, your mom might wear one when she cooks, right? If you just had an apron on, you're almost naked, aren't you? It's not good coverage. What does God do? Nobody teaches this, but it's so important. I'm going to teach you your clothing to the blood of Jesus. What did God do? He saw they weren't covered good enough. Do you know what it says in Genesis 3:21 he did?
He made them clothes.
He made them coats of skin. Look up that word in the Hebrew. It means a tunic. And here's what God did. He shed blood. Do you ever deer hunt with your dad or anything? What do you do when you shoot a deer? I used to deer hunt for meat. It's awesome. You shoot a deer, you gut it. What happens to it? The blood comes out. God killed an animal. It was the first shedding of blood. That was pointing to Jesus that would then shed our blood. So God told us how to cover ourselves. This is a sin covering. And so we teach people, we teach men and women that they should cover themselves the way, and it never changed. It never changed. Marriage has never changed. The tunic has never changed. In fact, Jesus is coming back in a robe and a vesture, and we get white robes if we're faithful in the end. So this is why I do this, is because it does draw people's attention. I don't do it for that. I do it to be biblical. People go, what? I love this. Ready? People go, you a Muslim? And I go, oh, no, let me tell you about Jesus. And then I preach the gospel to him, and it's a great door opener because I'm not like the culture. Now, many people go, ooh. He's weird. Stay away from when I go street preach. Well, that's okay. Those people I'm not supposed to reach then, because Jesus said, our loving Savior said, let the blind lead the blind in the ditch. Isn't that something? And so I do this. I preach these things. I teach these things so that people can wake up to the truth, because the days are evil. It's getting short. It's getting dark. And I've never, and I'm just going to share with you, if your body is different, please call me. Got my phone number on there. Email me. I want to come visit your body. I'm just going to say this, and I hope this doesn't offend any of you. I've never met an Anabaptist body that's fully biblical. I'll just say that. They're like all the rest of them. They all have compromises. And whenever I talk to the elders, they'll say, well, you got to obey the elders. And I said, not if they don't obey God's word, I don't. Peter says in Acts 5:29, we obey God, not men. I said, you're teaching this, you're teaching this, you're not teaching this. And they go, you seem contentious. And I said, oh, I am. Go look at Paul. Go look at Peter. They all got killed and murdered and thrown in jail, did they not, in the Bible? They didn't just go along to get along. Look at John the Baptist. People tell me, you know, you're kind of out there. And I go, did you ever look at who John the Baptist was? He's not the kind of guy you'd sit at a picnic table and go, wow, what a nice guy. He'd look at you and go, do works worthy of repentance, young man. Right? So I want to be loving and I want to be kind, but also there's a boldness, and I don't fit well with the Anabaptists because they go, oh, he's kind of bold. Because see, they think, ready? I know you're gonna respond to this. Meekness. Meek. They tell me you're not meek enough. Have you ever studied meekness? Meekness is power under control. So I'm walking with my stick and I'm meek. Look, it's my walking stick. Guess what? If a mean dog comes to attack you, I'm gonna take this stick. And I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to knock his brains out to protect you. That's power under control. That's meekness. And the Anabaptists will say, well, you can't really speak up. They want you to just go along, fit in. And that meekness keeps people held down to the truth. And what they shouldn't have just one or two men teaching. All the men in the body should be stepping up, learning their role, teaching. There should be an open participatory gathering. And I can promise you, if you read my website, I don't think there's much you and I, well, there might be one or two things, but there's not much you and I would disagree on. You would go, yeah, They'd never let me come preach there. Never. Never. Because, see, I would tell people, wake up. And it might ruin their little organization. And I know if Paul came and John the Baptist came, and I'm no John the Baptist, and if Peter came, they would do a work on those places, right? So that's my plea to you, is just, that's why that's a special track. It calls out a few of those things, you know, how you dress, the pagan holidays, the gospel's most important. You must be born again, and if you are, you'll wake up to the word and the truth of God. And I'm here to help you. I've got a link on my website, it's called Anabaptism Exposed. I say it that way because people find it all over on the internet. And I've got all these crazy stories. Do you know, I go to Anabaptist places. Would you say, have I acted mean and abusive and aggressive right now? In any way?
Not really.
They call the police on me. When I'm standing on public property. What if I was standing over here with a gospel sign and saying to you guys, hey, you have to repent and be born again. We love you. My wife and I, my covered wife, standing there with a Bible and gospel signs. Half of the times the Anabaptists call the police on me.
What did he do? What did they do?
The police come and go, he's legal, he's standing. Has he set foot on your property? Well, no. He's perfectly legal. Has he done anything aggressive? Well, no. And the police, I witness to the police and the police leave. Mm-hmm. The worldly people call the police on me too for doing the same thing. I never enter the buildings, I stand outside, because that is threatening to have a person not with you come in a building with all the shootings and stuff. And I don't have a problem with them calling the police, but once the police come and check me out and they get my driver's license, they go, yeah, oh, wow, he's been doing this for 15 years, he's never been arrested. He's good, he's not never been arrested ever, even as a worldly man, which I should have been. They don't even come out and talk to me then and go, oh, he's safe, the police checked him out. No, they don't even come out. So I don't know what your body is, and it's funny, you're inspiring me to do something. You know what? I just said to my wife before I saw you guys pulling, I saw the plaid shirt and I saw Pennsylvania and I thought, are they Mennonites? I walked through, my wife and I are talking, our trip, we're going to go, we traveled the country, we were just way up north, we're going to be headed out west. I said, we've got to get to Pennsylvania before you ever pulled up. I believe the Father does this. Today, before you ever pulled up, I said, you know what, Pennsylvania, we're starting to plan our route. I said, there's a lot of Anabaptists in Pennsylvania. We'd love to go through and witness and stand at places and preach. Have you ever heard of Pinecraft?
Florida.
I have videos on Pinecraft. They called the police on me. They have a city park there that's, they don't even own it. And I go through there and I street preach there and they play music all the time with their amplifiers. Ah! I have a little tiny voice box that makes it clear, like if I'm standing by that sign, if I talk like this, you can hear me easy. Not a giant boom box. You could see videos of me preaching at Pinecraft. I got three cops standing behind me and the cops are like, he's perfectly legal. They called the police on me for preaching the gospel like I'm doing. Like you folks just standing there and you'd say, oh, call the cops on this guy to get rid of him. It's like, why don't you just tell me to leave? I'll leave. Have I said anything unbiblical or unloving? So I'm just sharing with you, they may do that to me if I showed up at your body. I'm not saying I'm showing up at yours. I don't even know what yours is. But they may do that because who did Jesus have the most problem with when he had his ministry?
The religious people.
Do you know when we go out in the world, do you know the tattooed bikers hug me oftentimes when I preach the gospel to them? And the homeless men reach in their pocket and they go, I only got a dollar. Can I give it to you for your mission? And I said, sir, I said, you're hungry. We feed them. I said, we don't need your money. The religious people call the police on me. I got beat up 2 months ago, beat up at a Baptist church, beat up. I was on the street, never set foot on their property. Two of their security men caught me along the back corner there, chased me, kicked me in the head, stole my phone, stole my gospel signs. I'm just telling you this to tell you how ugly religion is in America. And the religious people are the ones that hate the truth of God. And the Anabaptists aren't much different. You've been very gracious. What is your first name?
Keith.
Keith?
Yeah.
I'm Jim. I'm going to pray for all you guys.
Thank you.
You have my contact info. Yeah. Large website. We don't want your money. Go to the teaching blog if you're interested. Look up my Anabaptist stories. And if I'm wrong, do me a favor. I started this conversation by saying you all should love me and I should love you. If I'm wrong about what I'm saying, and I need to be an Anabaptist, get your elder. Call me. I'll come visit you. Convince me where I'm wrong. I got to get this right. I'm out wasting my time telling people to come out of the world, come out of the false religious systems. I ask Mennonites that all the time. Help me. Teach me where I've got it wrong. Do you know how many of them I hear back from?
Would you change if you were wrong?
Absolutely. I want to listen to the men that will teach me and show me what I've got wrong. What have I got wrong about the pagan holidays, about the gospel, about naming ourselves after a man, about unbiblical dress. Like I said, I taught the tunic. You know, I see hypocrisy in Anabaptists. The women are to wear a dress to cover their forms up. Men don't have to cover their forms up. Scratch your head and say, when did God change that? I love you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Cling to Jesus Christ and His word and truth. God be praised.